Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for the John Chuckery Show.
Are you ready?
Sports talk in the ATL. It's not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
No. You insulted him a little bit. A little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Call or text John now at 404-741-0929. Live from the Kia Studios, it's John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome in on a cold, blustery, windy Sunday championship morning on your home for SB 53 in the ATL. It's corporately mandated. Keep a running total of how many times we say that. Our on-air phrasing. It is John Chuckery today with you, flying solos. Randy McMichael still hanging out in California, riding scooters and drinking Bloody Marys and hanging out life by the water. It's good life out there. Good life. So with you till 2 o'clock, we're going to take you right up to pregame action of the NFC Championship game. All of your NFC-AFC Championship game coverage is right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 2 o'clock pregame, 3:05 kickoff. That will be the Rams down in New Orleans taking on the Saints. AFC title game, 6:15 pregame, 6:40 kickoff. That will be the Patriots at the Chiefs. Plenty to get into today. Our buddy Jason Longshore going to join us as we get ready. Believe it or not, Atlanta United already in training camp. You heard the whole station was broadcasting Monday with the announcement of the newest manager and obviously Joseph Martinez contract extension. So things to get into with him. We are going to try to get Jason in studio probably either next weekend, Brian, or the weekend after or something here pretty quick. We'll get you, Jason, in studio, and we're going to preview and get ready for the upcoming season. But we start, if you've been outside at all today and noticed how blustery, cold, windy, just kind of miserable out. After what was a miserable, it was just so miserable last night, too, with the rain and everything else. Didn't stop me from drinking and smoking cigar, but anyway, that's a separate story. But I have to give some thank yous already this morning. So I want to make sure that that I include everybody in this list. I want to make sure that Colony Square, Lanier Parking, Terry Fox, Sean Thompson, I want to thank them all this morning for that wonderful walk into work, you know, because I do have to park at a different zip code than where our station is located just to walk over to Nakatomi Towers over here. The wind gusts literally started picking up to the point where, like, you couldn't even catch your breath. Like, the wind blowing in your face, freezing cold outside as it was, as I had, like, three layers of clothing on and my gloves and just ridiculousness. So if my voice sounds cracked or strange at all, it's probably because, you know, the wind gusts I was swallowing just trying to get in here and trying to catch my breath didn't allow for me to, you know, get my lungs to be able to function. So thank you to everybody involved in that. It makes starting off the day. It puts me in such a good mood. You know, I'm such an upbeat, happy kind of guy to start with out there. So I know this really kind of amps that up. And if you ever needed smarmy and sarcasm, you will get full doses of that today because was not thrilled. And Brian has to go through the same thing. Brian came in here and he looked like he'd just gotten off a polar bear excursion up in Antarctica, you know, doing research up there when he came in. So, yeah, we want to thank you to all of those involved. Brian, I'll tell you, Lanier Parking, the Gambino family didn't have as good a scam and racket going on as what Lanier Parking has had. They've got the biggest racket going in all of Atlanta. You think those scooters and mopeds and bikes and all that are a racket and a gimmick? They ain't seen nothing like what Lanier Parking gives you out here. So thank you to everybody involved. Really appreciate it. Always a good way to get off on the right foot to get your day started, you know, at 8:30 in the morning to have to go there. And the strangest part, there's actually people like that were out running this morning. Like, I get being in fitness mode and all that kind of stuff. I'm back hitting the weights pretty hard and getting at it and doing my thing and getting my cardio in. Why are you out in 32 degree with 40-mile-an-hour gusted winds out running today? I can't imagine that your fitness is that important to, I don't know, give yourself a, you know, pneumonia by out running today. But God bless you if you're out there running and trying to get your fitness in. You know, hopefully you don't have to check into Grady after it's all done or Piedmont or where have you. So I want to make sure we got that out of the way first and foremost. Last night, it was a very good scenario for the Atlanta Hawks. So if you saw last night, the Atlanta Hawks last night fell to the Boston Celtics 113-105 in a game that played out exactly the way that you hope it would play out. So Hawks last night had the early lead, led after one quarter, led after the half, led after three quarters last night. Then a 30-16 run by the Celtics in the fourth quarter dooms the Hawks. I believe that they went in that final quarter. I think they had 4 minutes and 40 seconds where they didn't score a single point in the quarter. You also had a, I don't want to say fight, that'd be giving it too much credit, but you had a little dust-up between Marcus Smart and DeAndre Bembry. Smart got thrown out of the game. So you got at least some action to go along with it when all that was taking place. But it was a perfect scenario. Hawks played sort of well, had a lead for a while, some excitement. You had a little dust up, and in the end, the Hawks lost it in the fourth quarter and took the L. That's the perfect scenario for the Atlanta Hawks. You can't script it any better for what you want out of this Hawks team than what happened last night. Hawks now with 14 wins on the year. Believe it or not, and I know it sounds like a really huge number, but they're only like 8 games out of a playoff spot. Only 8 games from the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Now, I don't believe any of us want that. I think at the end of the day, we all would like to see a lot more L's than wins. But, you know, it is what it is, and give the Hawks credit for improving. You know, John Collins led the way last night with Alex Len, both of them with 15 points last night. Collins with 11 rebounds. And we're going to talk about John Collins in the next segment about whether or not it's time for him to be an NBA All-Star. But, you know, when you talk about what you want out of the Hawks, that environment, you know, for kind of, I didn't really watch the game, but was following along on Twitter with what Andy Bunker was saying. I think Andy did the game last night, did all the pregame and stuff. I think he filled in for Mike last night. So, you know, talking about how good the crowd was in it. You had a good team that's come in. Obviously, Al Horford back. I think Al went like 4-for-11 from the field. I mean, it wasn't like Al was great last night himself. Yeah, 13 points and 9 boards for Al, was a -6 on the floor, 4-of-11 from the field, 1-for-4 from three-point land. Man, he loves to huck up his threes, that's for sure. It's amazing what his three-point attempts numbers are since he's left Atlanta. It's pretty staggering these last several years. But perfect scenario, and it's everything that you want as a Hawks fan. You're competitive, you look good for a while, things are rolling along, young guys are playing. Maybe, you know, something to kind of get you excited. You know, I don't know what you want to call it, a dust up, but it wasn't a fight by any means, but some kind of dust up, good crowd Saturday night, and then Hawks blow it in the fourth quarter and lose and take the L. And you can feel good about it, right? I mean, they say on wrestling pay-per-views that you always want to leave the crowd happy. You always want the crowd. That's why usually you try as often as you can to have the baby face, you know, which is the good guys in wrestling. Try to have the baby faces win and leave the crowd with a good feeling, unless you've just got a super hot angle to get into, you know, the NWO at Bash of the Beach 96. You know, that was one of the great moments in wrestling history, you know, when they're throwing all the junk in there and Gene Oakland comes out to talk to Hulk Hogan. But by and large, you try to leave people either feeling good or you want them to talk about something. And I think for Hawks fans last night, you had to feel good. You had to feel good about playing well, but taking a loss at the end of the day and continuing to put yourself in the mix. And the thing for the Hawks is, as long as you're in the top three in today's NBA, you don't necessarily have to have the number one, or I should say the worst record overall, because the way the ping pong balls are set up, as long as you're one of the three worst teams now, in the NBA, you've got just about an equal distribution. It's not as heavily weighted toward the worst record anymore. And I think that was by design for the NBA to try to not have one team that was just decidedly trying to tank. You know, as long as you're one of the three worst teams in the NBA, you're in that mix for the same kind of number of ping pong balls to put yourself in a position to get the number one overall pick. I would say it would be a disappointment if the Hawks find themselves, I don't know, fifth or sixth again in picking. I mean, this should be a year where you really hope that you want to be in that top three and you really want to get that next piece. If you assume that Trae Young is the first piece and John Collins could be another piece, you really want that next big-time piece to come in. Because you still have to find yourself three really great players to be, you know, at that elite level of NBA teams. If you want to be at the elite level of the NBA and you ever want to be in the discussion for, hey, we could win an NBA title, you better have three of those guys. You better have three of those guys, whether they're guys that you draft and picked up or you've got two or three really good guys and one more superstar decides to come and hang out with your franchise like what Golden State had. You better hope that you get that kind of scenario. But you got to start with getting your guys in place, getting your young guys, getting your draft picks in place. So as long as the Hawks can stay in that bottom, you know, three teams and hopefully be a top three pick when it's all said and done, I think everything will be a success at that point. You know, no matter what the record is, if that means that the Hawks win 19 games, they win 24 games, they win 28 games. I mean, if they win 28 or 30 games, they're not going to be one of the three worst records in all of the NBA. I'm not sure that you could still think of the Hawks as a 30-win type of team, but 45 games into it and they're 14 wins, they could certainly be in the mid-20s. And they certainly have a lot more home games going down the stretch than they do on the road. I think they do, if I'm right, Brian, they have a big seven-game West Coast trip that's coming up here soon, that there's a long stretch that they got to go out west and do all that. So that may be a shot for the Hawks to drop some games. And they're only 3-7 in their last 10 games as it is. So it's not like the Hawks have been world beaters or anything like that, you know, of late. So good for the Hawks last night. Glad to see that they did exactly what they had to do. Play well, get the crowd into it, have some fun, little incident on the court. But at the end of the day, you blow it in the fourth quarter and you take a big L and everybody leaves the building happy. Perfect end, just like a wrestling pay-per-view. They could call that SummerSlam if you want last night. So plenty to get into, as we said. We're going to talk about John Collins in the next break. We'll talk to Jason Longshore at 10:40. We'll hear from our buddy D-Led, who we talked to yesterday about some Falcons. So lots of stuff to get into over the course of the day. Fun music day. We're kind of all over the board with our music today. So that'll be coming up before the top of the hour. It's Chuckery. Oh, on the eve of Team Have Not Takeover tomorrow. Chuckery until 2 o'clock. Sports Radio 920. You're home for SB 53 in the ATL.
The game. John's going to clear it away now, and the Hawks will bring it up. Trae Young, Trae behind the pick. Trae dribbles towards the lane. Alley-oop for John, who jams. An alley-oop and a slam dunk. And the Hawks now lead it 46-32, their biggest lead of the night.
Hey, yo. Back in the Kia Studios, Steve Holman on the call. Hawks, Trae Young last night. Hawks Radio Network on all your metal hits, 92.9 The Game. Yeah, we're going to be rocking it out today on the music theme. This is treadmill music right here, baby. A little Judas Priest to get you going. That's some good stuff. Dave Cohen of Georgia State, by the way, would enjoy the bulk of the music fest. You know, that's his favorite. One of the artists today is his favorite group of all time. So I was joking with Harper about that. So, yeah, it's one of his favorite. I should say it is his favorite. He's seen them like 80 times in concert or something ridiculous. So 404-741-0929 is the phone line if you want to interact with the program. Talk a little bit about the Atlanta Hawks in the previous segment, and what a good way to have it go down last night, where at the end of the day the Hawks end up with a loss. But one guy who's been terrific in 15 points, 11 rebounds, again last night, and by the way, even
thought about whether or not Collins would even play in that game last night is the aforementioned John Collins. And, you know, when you look at the Eastern Conference, you have to start saying to yourself, does John Collins really deserve to be an all-star? Should he be an all-star? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. Now, I think the number one thing that hurts John Collins is the fact that he's missed a third of the season. That's number one, 29 games out of, I think they've played 45 games. So he's missed a third of the schedule this far. But there's no doubt about when you look at his numbers, you know, if you take his numbers in amongst all of the other leaders and stuff like that, he's one of the top, he's ninth in the Eastern Conference in rebounds. He's tied for 13th in the Eastern Conference in scoring. I want to say he's one of only eight guys total that average a double-double in the Eastern Conference, where his numbers right now at this point, 10.4 rebounds per game and 19, what is it? Is it? It's right at 19 points per game. Same number of points per game as Jimmy Butler, D'Angelo Russell, edging out J.J. Redick, Caris LeVert, Josh Richardson, Chris Middleton, among some other guys out there. There's no question about when you start talking about the power forward position in the Eastern Conference, certainly the Greek freak Giannis is going to be right there at the top. Sabonis there for Indiana is in that mix. You know, outside of that, you know, most of these other guys like Tristan Thompson, Vucevic, Whiteside, Andre Drummond, Joel Embiid, those guys are more centers. I mean, he plays in a position where it's very much a situation where there's a definite spot for him in the mix of all that. And I know when you get into, Blake Griffin, obviously, in that mix as well. And I get that when you get into the All-Star game, positioning is not so much important because they even divide it out as front court, back court, right, when you vote and all that kind of stuff. And our guy Cowie, I'm sure, going to be right there at the top of the mix and playing for the best teams, if not the best team in all of the Eastern Conference this year. But there's no question about when you talk about the impact John Collins has had on this team this year and the big leap that he's taking. By the way, also tied for 17th when you talk about scoring per 48 minutes in the league. So he's done so many good things in taking that leap. And if you remember, Wake Forest, he was a guy that was a double-double in college. He was a guy that was, 17th or 18th, I think, picked overall by the Atlanta Hawks, a guy that did some good things in arguably, I guess, the best conference in all of collegiate basketball in the ACC. To see how much he's grown and progressed over this year, I think, is one of the things that, as a Hawks fan, maybe even more than the Trae Young story. I mean, is maybe the story for the Atlanta Hawks, maybe the number one story, the fact that Collins has taken this kind of big of a leap, for him to be 19 and almost 11 now at this point, is that the top story? And some people are going to say things like, well, when you're a bad team and you don't have good players, somebody has to score. Well, yeah, but also in the NBA, you can't dumb your way, as I always like to use that phrase, you can't dumb your way to 19 and 10 in the NBA. You can't dumb your way to double-doubles in the NBA. If it were that easy, there would be a reason why there'd be more than just eight guys total in the Eastern Conference that would have those kinds of numbers. There'd be more than just Embiid and the Greek Freak and Whiteside and Drummond and some of these guys and even Tristan Thompson. There'd be a reason why, when you only got eight guys total that can do those kinds of things, that does put you into pretty special company within the Eastern Conference. So I really hope that, and I don't know, who's the coaches? Is it who leads the Eastern Conference and Western Conference this season, right? Am I correct on that, Brian?
They usually do it from the previous season. But let me double check on that
right
now.
I thought it was this year's conference leaders as to who gets the all-star coaching. So you would hope that whatever coaching staff is taking the spot, that John Collins should get a really hard and long look about being an all-star. And I think that'd be a good thing. And I think it'd be good to have at least one Atlanta Hawk represented. I mean, I don't think the NBA NBA doesn't have that everybody has to be represented kind of baseball deal that they have going. Now, we do know John Collins, I guess, has said he will be in the dunk contest, right? I believe that he is going to be in the slam dunk contest. So he's already going to be there for All-Star Weekend. By the way, did you see where somebody was talking about Zion? They should let Zion be in the NBA dunk contest. Like, you know they get money for that, right? Like, you get a cash prize if you win the dunk contest, right? So what if he won? Is he getting a bag of cash as a Duke player? I mean, not that it matters at this point. Like it's not like he's going to class or anything like that. So
I'm sure he's already gotten bags of cash.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. This would be a pay cut. For him to get an NBA bonus, it would be a pay cut now from his Duke salary that he's currently getting out there. But I just thought that was kind of strange because there's only 40 million hoops you'd have to jump through to be able to make something like that happen. But no, there's no question about that. That one of the best stories in the Hawks this year, and maybe the top story when it's all said and done, maybe more than what even Trae Young has done so far in his rookie season. Because we were talking about this the other day on the midday show, John Michaels and I hanging out about, do you get a little bit of angst at all when you read Steve Kerr and Golden State Warriors players talking about how good of a player Doncic is already? Steve Kerr saying, I don't know if he's going to make the All-Star, but he should absolutely make it, be an All-Star and all this. And you're like, oh, okay. And I think we all kind of knew that we expected Doncic immediately to make a bigger impact than a Trae Young. But when you hear those words coming out of – because the only thing that we've heard from Steph Curry is shooting down the comparisons between him and Trae Young. It's not Steph Curry going out of his way to talk about Doncic the way he said, you know, he's a terrific player, should be an All-Star, this, that, and the other, and Steve Kerr saying the same thing. It's been, hey, it's not fair to compare us. Let the kid play. That's different. But Steve Kerr coming out and talking about how good a player Doncic is, does that give you a little bit of, oh, boy, I hope we got this right? Because I put the over-under, if I said to you, Trae Young can be a three-time All-Star, are you over that, under that? If I say three is the number, doesn't he have to be at least a three-time All-Star to justify that? What I'm scared about isn't so much Trae Young not being a good NBA player. What I'm scared about is Doncic a transformational player? Is he a guy that can be the absolute cornerstone of an NBA champion? Is he your next, and I'm saying he's a seven-footer, is he your next Dirk Nowitzki for that franchise? Does he become a guy that you look up and all of a sudden he's turning the Dallas Mavericks franchise in a completely different direction? All of a sudden, in 2 years, and they add a couple of pieces, all of a sudden, they're a Western Conference Finals team. Because we're nowhere near that level in the Eastern Conference. 2 years from now, unless there's some kind of miracle that happens and they go out and are able to convince some free agents that would never come here to be able to make a move to Atlanta. But the Hawks are nowhere near that kind of realm. But it is a little bit kind of head-scratching just to hear all of the love and the praise that has been heaped on Doncic already in only 40-some games. And it's not a matter of Trae Young has been bad. It's not a matter of Trae Young hasn't played well. It's just a matter of Doncic has been that good. He's been that good of a player for Dallas, and he's made that big of a difference in a short amount of time. Now, I get it. He's obviously had a massively different amateur experience, if you will. I shouldn't even say amateur experience because he's been a professional player out there, but he is only 19 years old. Now, even though he's played professionally, he is only 19. Remember, Dennis Schroeder came here as the same kind of deal. Dennis was a guy who had played some professional out there. Did we ever solve the conference coaching?
We did. It took a while, but we got plenty of research on it now. So it is the team with the best record in the current season,
yes.
But there's the prohibition against being a repeat coach, so you can't have that situation. You can't have the same coach in back-to-back years, and that was known as the Riley rule because he coached the team 8 out of 9 seasons from the early 80s up until
what's wrong with
the early
that?
90s.
Why is that a problem?
I don't know. They just want to give different people different opportunities.
Now,
I mean,
Toronto,
it's an exhibition game.
Toronto does Toronto not lead the Eastern Conference right now?
Well, so the Bucks and the Raptors are neck and neck. Bucks are actually up a half a game technically because they have a higher winning percentage.
So Mike Boonholzer could be Mike Boonholzer, the guy who drafted John Collins, could be – that would be awesome. I bet you Mike would put him on the team. I bet you Mike would show him some love for how good he's been. I'll guarantee you, in some ways, Mike Budenholzer follows some of what the Hawks do. some of his players. He may not be invested in everything that the Hawks are doing, but I'll bet you there's some certain guys like a John Collins that he's sort of invested in.
I think one of the biggest problems for Collins is going to be that he's still, you know, he's in his second year and they have that freshman sophomore game, so he's just going to be kind of assumed to be one of the stars of that group.
Yes, but at the same time, if his, 19-10 is still 19-10 in the NBA. It's hard to overlook, and I want to say, do they have 15 guys, I think, in the NBA All-Star game? I think it's a little bit of expanded from what you normally get, but I don't know. I think John Collins is right there in the mix, and hopefully he gets a real shot to be on that team. When we get back to our buddy Jason Longshore, several things to get into with him about Atlanta United, as before you know it, the season will be starting up. Jason Longshore next. Chuck Reed in the house till 2 o'clock. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ah, yes, memories. Fond memories of a season gone by.
Goals.
Wow. Back in the Kia Studios.
Exciting.
Chuck Reed hanging out with you.
Come to the bench.
You know, I have another one of those in mind for this year.
We're expecting.
I think I told Brian about it before.
Trying to ruin another career?
Yes. That's what I do, is I just ruin careers. One career I haven't ruined, thank goodness, is our guest out on the WaitForIt.com hotline. By the way, we are your home for SB53 in the ATL. I want to make sure we get that in, Jason. Plenty of times on air phrasing. There you go.
Soon we'll be scoring another goal.
Jason Longshore joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline on Twitter, at Longshore, our color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Good morning to you, Jason. How are you today?
Good morning. Please don't ever do a song for me. I'm begging.
That's true. Yes. I agree. I do have one more in the pipeline that I am considering. So we will see how the season starts off. By the way, we're going to try to get Jason in. Hopefully next weekend we'll get him in, and we get Randy back from riding scooters out in California. He can come in and hang out with us, and we'll get you ready for Atlanta United. So, Jason, several things I want to ask you about. Let's start with, because I haven't talked to you in a while, Frank DeBoer and the announcement earlier, what was it, Monday, that we got the announcement and official announcement and everybody was out at the station. What, as a casual fan, if anything, will be different about the way this team looks under DeBoer versus what they look like under Tata?
I don't think it's going to be dramatically different. I think the biggest questions are really more about chemistry, just because it's a different person leading the team now. And he has a different personality. You know, you're talking about two very different cultures as well, from Argentina and from the Netherlands. So that's the only question. And I think that's pretty common. Anytime you have a new manager, a new coach come in, you wonder how all the pieces are going to fit together. Every coach sees a group of players differently. Is there somebody that he really sees and likes that Tata Martino didn't play as much? Does he see a player that started a lot that maybe he looks at differently? You never know until you get into the season, but I think style of play, it's going to be pretty similar.
This may sound like kind of a ridiculous question, but, you know, from a communication language barrier, you know, age difference, I mean, does any of that stuff kind of matter? I mean, is there any of that really plays into success or failure in this?
It absolutely can. I think in this case, the differences are Frank DeBoer is more fluent in English than Tata Martino was. Obviously not as fluent in Spanish, but he is comfortable speaking Spanish. He played in Barcelona. We've seen clips of him going back and forth in training sessions and in conversations with the players very comfortably, you know, no problem going back and forth between language. So that's one thing that's a little bit of a bonus here. The age difference is a thing. You know, I think a lot of players looked at Tata Martino as kind of a father figure, and you're not going to have that with Frank DeBoer. He's a little bit younger. DeBoer is a guy like Tata who is very comfortable on the field, jumping into a training session, knocking the ball around. So that's going to stay the same. I think it's just down to personalities. You know, it's two very different types of personalities between Tata Martino and Frank DeBoer, and we'll see how the group of players adjust.
Jason Longshore on the WaitForIt.com hotline, color analyst for Atlanta United. Obviously, the other big story, Joseph Martinez gets a 5-year extension. I always joke about with contracts, whether it's, in the NFL, what's your dead money number? If you're a coach in college, what's your buyout? I mean, those are the things that really matter. When you talk about a contract like a 5-year extension for a guy like Martinez, how legitimate is it that a guy lives through that contract, that stays here all 5 years? I mean, obviously we know what he's done, these first couple of years in the MLS, but what's the reality of a 5-year extension for a guy like that?
That type of contract's a big commitment, and there's always the chance. I think with the world of soccer, you're not talking about 30 other teams who could be interested. You're talking about 100. You're talking about 150 in 5 different countries that could be interested in wanting to bring Joseph Martinez in. But I think that type of commitment, and we don't know the salary figure attached to it. That'll be public when the players' union issues that this spring. I think it does narrow that bar a little bit, especially for the next few years, about which clubs would be interested in making an offer. I think it lowers that number dramatically. The biggest thing to me is this means Joseph Martinez wants to be here, and I think he's completely comfortable being in Atlanta. I don't know if he's had a place like that in his professional career, to be honest. He went to Switzerland first, and that was a jumping off point for him in Europe, and that was the plan all along. And then that led him to Torino in Italy, and it didn't go very well there. He was played out of position, didn't really get on with the fans, and we've seen that difference here firsthand.
Expand on.
I think he's happy and comfortable.
Expand on just a little bit when you talk about, I mean, I understand what you're saying as far as limbing and stuff like that, but is it sort of I don't know. Let's say an unwritten rule that if you've got a guy under contract for a bunch of years, that it's not kind of proper protocol to want to pull that guy. Or is it just all about, hey, if you're willing to pay the big money transfer fee, contract be damned?
It's honestly the latter. I mean, if a club comes in and wants to pay a fee that Atlanta United would agree to, then they assume that contract. And that's the biggest thing here, is that contract is a long one, longer than your typical, and probably a pretty lucrative one. So that's going to narrow which teams would be willing to take that contract on. Because a lot of times when you see a transfer, and it's part of the conversation around Miguel Almiron, you're going to see that player get a new contract and an improved contract. This is a big contract to begin with. So I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to take that on, and on top of a big transfer fee.
Jason Longshore joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, color analyst for at Atlanta United, catching up with him on some news and notes here with Atlanta United. I keep reading a lot about this Deion Pereira, if I'm pronouncing his last name right. He's been with the under-23 club for, is it Watford or something like that?
Right.
A lot of people saying that this was an under-the-radar signing. It's a guy who maybe even could one day be an MLS All-Star type of player. What do we know about Deion?
He's interesting because he was named Watford's Young Player of the Year a couple of years ago at 17. He's made a couple of appearances in the Premier League, but he's primarily played in the second-tier reserve league. They do their reserve teams a little bit differently in England. They have a separate league completely for them, unlike our USL, where
they do
United
everything different over there. That's why
games.
We had to break away from them, Jason. They just do
I
don't even know how to drive on the right side of the road over there.
But Pereira, hopefully he will learn how to drive on our side of the road. That'll be good. The good thing for him is he's a player who thrives in 1v1 situations. And that's something that Frank De Boer's system and what he wants to see. He likes to see his wingers be in a position to take players on 1v1. He likes to create those opportunities. And Pereira is a guy who fits into that model really well. And what's good for him is he comes here without any major expectations to step straight into the first team. He can take some time to settle. He can play with Atlanta United too and earn that time as he goes.
Jason, last thing for you. Where do you think we're kind of at with Miguel Almiron as far as, does he play a full season here in Atlanta this upcoming season? I mean, what do you think his status is as we're obviously in camp and moving closer to actual matches taking place?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. This transfer window for the leagues that he's being linked to, their deadline is January 31st to bring players in. So the clock's ticking. There are clubs that are interested. Miguel's agent has talked about many different countries and clubs who are interested. but you're running out of time. I don't think he would be here for the full MLS season. If he gets through this window, there's not an offer that Atlanta United wants to take. The summer window is a whole different scenario. I mean, think to it where if you're in the NFL and you're looking at upgrading your roster in the off season, it's wide open for you. You have, you know, tons of different options. You can change things. You can go in different directions. That trade window time, that's where you see teams who are desperate make moves. And that's kind of where you're at right now because you're midseason in Europe. So it's a smaller number of teams who are going to do it, and usually they're operating out of desperation. And in the summer, you're going to have managers change. You want to change things up. You're going to have teams who are looking to build for the future. It opens up the window. So if he gets through this window, I think the summer window is where he would go. And I do think Atlanta United is going to get the number that they're talking about. I think it's going to be $30 million plus because this is that type of move for Atlanta and for Major League Soccer that will change the way the transfer market works for them. So Atlanta has to hold firm to getting maximum value here. And I think Miguel and his agent and everybody is on, you know, on the same page with that. You're not seeing any friction.
Yeah. And I think, would it be fair to say, try to get the league to look at finding those hidden gem young stars rather than the Roonies that people say, well, you know, at 36, he's finally coming over here to play, or Beckham or any of those kind of guys.
Yeah, it changes the conversation. I think you'll see if this move happens the way that we're all expecting, I think you'll see Robert Kraft in New England, for example, who hasn't really made these types of signings for the Revolution, say, well, I'm watching what Arthur's doing down in Atlanta. Maybe I should follow that model. I think there is a place, though, for your Roonies when they come over. I mean, he got a lot of attention for a team in the Washington market that nobody was talking about. So there was a point to it. You just have to back that up with the young players after that. Once you get that attention, then you have to think about building the team and being part of this transfer market, because you're looking at Atlanta United potentially tripling their investment that they put in Miguel Almiron. That's just good business.
Yeah. On Twitter, at Longshoe. He's our color analyst for all things Atlanta United. Jason, we will see you here in person very soon. Thanks, my man.
Thanks.
You got it. When we get back, as always, it's time for our music theme of the day. Call next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuck, we're back in the Key Studios, hanging out with you till 2 o'clock today. Always a music theme as we play you all of our favorite hits right here on All Things Metal, 92.9 The Game. Can't wait for Star 94 to get here. Maybe a promotion yet. Anyway, today's music theme. So Ronnie Townsend, one of the singers from the group The Fifth Dimension, born today. 1933. The great William Powell of the OJs. Of course, he, along with the other OJs, Brian, born in Canton, Ohio, in case you weren't sure. I put that in bold letters on the music
sheets. I saw that made the cut. That was shocking to me.
Yes. So, plenty of OJs today. Randy's going to miss that. Born today in 1942. Eric Stewart, one of the founders of 10cc, one of those 70s English kind of mellow bands, born today in 1945. Ian Hill, bassist for Judas Priest, born today, 1952. Rob Borden, drummer and founder of Linkin Park, born today in 1979. And we feature today founder and lead singer for Kiss, born today, 1952, the great Paul Stanley. And at some point, Brian, we may do a Gene Simmons-Paul Stanley conversation on air for all of our listeners. Expect a little Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons coming up here soon on All the Hits 92.9 The Game.
For a Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.